just because you get bored?
Game. The other foods will not cause the problem in the time cycle because they don't have the total chemical content of the 12 basic to override the almond. It's a pecking order. People complain of skin problems outside. I provide a skin food. I don't talk too much of it. I have enough evidence that the doctors don't like me after a while because it has taken away their business from all kind of surgical exterior activity. I feed the skin directly outside, and that's another pecking order in the food. But forget about that for a moment. It's in the mouth. The pecking order of the minerals go according to light. We don't like it, but that's the way nature set us up. Daddy's first, mama in the run the house, and all the kids. So in the mouth of the tree, first food to get exposed to light is trees. At a 45 degree angle of light, it's called the zone one. You have a fruit and a nut. The nut takes the priority. Why? Because it has to have the protein. The fruit is a carbohydrate. So the protein goes in first in terms of the hydrochloric acid. We didn't know that until we had a disease called cancer, and cancer is called disease without cause. Who the heck knows what causes cancer to this very day? Every doctor is puzzled. What? But they know one thing about it. Without any doubt, it can occur any part of the anatomy. That's the funny thing about any part of your anatomy will give you cancer. But why? But what is piling up as a factual condition? That wherever there is cancer, there is protein as the building block of the body, and that protein seems to be minus nitrogen. Whereas in a healthy body, there is protein, but the nitrogen is present. So between the two types of body, the one is only deficient in nitrogen. That's the sick body. Now in the mouth, we come down to the pecking order of putting the food in. So a food that would be protein in nature and have nitrogen, and heat knocks out the nitrogen. So there is no way to find something coming into the mechanism to be absorbed by the mechanism that will give the nitrogen that will supersede a nut. Of all the foods labeled as nuts, we only can find one that carries all 12 basic minerals. And I said 12 basic. We have trace minerals. We're not dealing with a trace mineral. We're dealing with a 12 basic that sets up the pattern for the mechanism and the environment. The almond takes preference. And then we look at the name. Mon means world. Al means all. World of what? And you ask professors back and forth, and finally, none of them can zero in. Even the very Persians who speak Persian. And I have lots of friends in Santa Fe who speak Persian. They always say, Adano. All we know the word means world going, all. What does it really mean? Or why our ancestors called it not almond. And then I said, the reason they call it almond is the 12 basic minerals are in it. And I didn't make it up, it's validated by research. My friends, I could get all that document. That's his whole entire money's gone, paid him now to do Gupta, to do chemical research for them. Because why? He's the only jerk in the country that's spending time to research it. So they got him isolated, so he's got to do the work for them.
I researched it too. For 18 months, I studied solar, but I didn't say until 18 months after I studied research, because my background is chemistry too. I told him after 18 months, you got something.
You were the doubting Thomas, which way
about that? I love it because Doubting Thomas was a scientist. He wasn't a Doubting Thomas in our frame of reference that he did. He was a man who couldn't accept the mere psychological philosophy of Jesus. He wanted the what, not the who. So I respect that man very much. He is the type that turns us on from inside to check things out. The almond is that 12 basic minerals, and it's a protein with nitrogen, is on a tree, taking the first order of input.
How do the other nuts and seeds relate to the rest of the day? Would it be wise maybe to incorporate those into your protein intake at the other two meals?
They're all right. They will not add weight now. No, here.
They won't add weight. Okay.
You see, most people got this going on that weight, of weight, you know. And I eat the thing and I have to lose weight and gain.
Yeah.
So I've been down the road of weight loss. The first person who told me my approach to weight loss years ago and made me laugh, I used to weigh 180 pounds. And I came out of the hospital. And the doctor friend said to me, he said, Lee, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but all your weight loss, I didn't even lose doggone weight till you got colonics. I said, what, doc? That's how I got exposed to colonics way back in the 50s. He said, yeah, colonics. He said, what is that? He said, well, you come to my home, my own personal clinic, and I'll expose you to it. He said, in the meantime, I'm signing you out now, you can walk.
So, colonics put weight on a couple of us here. We don't know.
Not true. I'm going to call your hand on that.
Why did it happen when we did the colonics? We didn't change anything. I didn't.
Your body changed.
My body changed?
Yes.
It's only a temporary thing.
Well, whenever you initiate change, something is going to take place.
Yeah.
When you start taking colonics, you don't only, you're not
I think
only,
the body is healthier.
You're not only initiating an organ
change.
Because the reason I'm addressing this is because I'm a colonic technician. Right. And after giving literally thousands of colonics over the last 9.5 years, I'm saying that that's an illusion. When you start detoxifying on an organ level by irrigating the colon through colonics, you do not just clean that organ. You don't just initiate change in that organ by creating a space, a void. Nature deploys a void. You initiate on a cellular level. You know, it's like they're all chimed into that and they're saying, hey, there's a space down there. Nature don't like a space. Let's fill that. And we're talking 750 billion cells on an average human being. So the changes that are starting to take place are not only detoxification on the organ level, but on the cellular level too. When those changes start to take place, more water absorption may take place, and there again, may appear to put on weight. But in actuality, it's not weight, it's gas and fluid.
And as the whole system, the whole program, the colonics program winds down, your body
starts to normalize.
Starts to normalize as well.
But see, there again, that's
in fact,
why
normalize at a better level.
That is why the people that we train in colonics, we try to get them exposed to solar nutrition. Because to take something out of the body without providing them a valid scientific means of putting something back in, they're going to go like this. You know, their body's going to go up and down. And the 10-week program is designed to gradually, the series of colonics, is designed to gradually remove material that has locked itself into the organ that initiates, as it is released and detaches itself from the colon, initiates many, many subconscious releases. That's why many people are letting go of shit down here, and they're letting go of shit here too. You know,
mine came out of there.
That's good, because you're recognizing what is called or classified to a therapist as the healing crisis in the patient. The patient has to go through this. I have to go through it myself, and when you're uninformed, you're uninformed. My doctor at the time, and I broke up my bones, and he said, well, you want to lose weight, Lee, but this is what you have to do. And I, at that time, I couldn't think of what the heck is a colonic, back in the 50s. Anyway, I had to go. Never connecting, I know I was interested in the food, but I couldn't see the colonic end of it. Well, typical writings, I studied to be a priest, and they'll say, cleanliness is next to God. And well, put up or shut up, Lee. One way or the other, either you're going to know for sure, or you're just guessing, or believing that that's not valid, because you can be wrong. All right, I went. But before I go, this was a Friday, I have to go for the treatment in his house, and this is Monday. That whole day Monday, I drank only water. Now, I had 3 healthy bowel movements. I didn't put in no food. They had to tell me, you're drinking water, you can have bowel movements. Well, it was a hell of a time to get one when I was in a cast. So, by that time, I'm thinking my hypnosis mind is getting more of me. No. The next day, I did the same thing. I had 3 bowel movements. The Wednesday, I did the same thing. I had 3 bowel movements. The Thursday, nothing. By that time, I'm ready. Think I'm smoking. What is that going to show me? I went to the scale. Believe this, I went to the scale. Oh, that don't make sense, man. Oh, how can I be? I'm still doing the same thing. Water, I just took water. I got 3 bowel movements for 3 straight days, and I am still doing the same. But that shut me up for a while. I walk into the clinic of the doctor, and there he was. And I'm only in my mind, I said, no, if I told the doctor, no, I gotta keep my mouth shut. Get on the machine. And he hooked me up. In those days, colonic machine was way beyond the Model T period. He saw my, he's still a Model T. Till I put him to work and made it look like a Cadillac. But you're looking at the best machine made in the world. That's it. After a while, the machine showed my stuff coming up, and I recognized it. I said, Doc. He said, what's up? I said, isn't that corn? He said, yeah. I heck, man, you signed for me to eat the corn 6 weeks ago in the hospital. Well, I'm in the hospital 6 weeks. You mean I didn't pass and all that stuff? I said, no, son. Right then, I shut my mouth and let that doctor work with me, because I was ignorant of me. I was only living in a hoop. And my engineering background all fell up right through. So when I cleaned out that day, I set it down. I'm only interested in one thing. My health. I ain't got nothing else here. He says, son, he looked at me and he says, you know what? I don't have any children. My wife died a long time. I'd love to accept you as a son. I said, I'd love to accept you as a dad. He said, make full use of my lab, my library. But I wouldn't want you to become a surgeon. If you do want to study something, go be a physical therapist, because the future is telling people what not to do to stay healthy. And that was back in the 50s. So I signed up years after the place in Michigan where they did physical therapy. That was, I realized that nutrition, cleaning the body, exercise, these were the 3 most important things next to resting the body, to be an ongoing process of staying healthy. But my bones were broken up. My ex-wife used to be a chiropractor. She worked with me and worked with me. And there, even she would say, there's certain things that we can't even do for you, you'll have to do it yourself. And that is how we know there's more to learn about yourself. Every day, and don't sell yourself short. Keep looking into yourself, because the ongoing help is yours. I can't do it for you. I can only give you the direction. And so this is where we're going. The nutrition is a direction. Give us something to look after. On the trees, we have the protein in the form of the almond. On the ground, which is the next level for lunch, we have the grain. That has protein too. That has nitrogen. Grains. Every health food store knows that. But then you have also the fiber involved, so here is the grain. And you combine the bean and the rice and the grains, you're gonna get protein. And if you cook it, the nitrogen is gonna go away. So the sprouted grain, sprouted bean with the rice will give you your complete protein with your nitrogen.
You said if you cook it, the nitrogen will not go in?
It'll go away.
It'll go away, okay. That's why you need the sprouts.
Rice you have to cook. That's what, let me explain about rice. Nature is a joker. I love that. Everything else you cook would really react and cause conditions in it. And rice is not a grain, it's a grass. It's the only thing I call the neutral, the exception to the rule. She has to be giving us the yes, the no, and the exception to the rule. Maybe if you look at the exception to the rule, you can make your next step forward. But you're always going to be a yes, no. That's why I said to you, yes, no, maybe. And polarity is the same thing in electricity. You have a plus, minus, and a ground. Those type of equipment are the safest. The others tend to create problems. So the same thing is going on in you. So your grains in the middle of the day, and there is no grain that will take the place of alfalfa. That's why the Persians could not understand why the words were given to them to label it alfalfa. You ask any rancher or farmer if he wants to get the best cattle, you'll feed it alfalfa. Now, alfalfa gives you your bulk of your basic minerals in the morning. No. But in the middle of the day, yes. Because it doesn't have more than the almond. It goes in. Almond has 12, alfalfa's got 11. It drops down one. Then we go to night time. Again, there is a food there that takes precedent at night. It's called asparagus. You know, all three words, they give it an A?
Yeah.
Good. Asparagus. And that, together with your watercress, rounds out your food at night. Now, when you're dealing with radionics, I don't know if anybody knows what radionics is. It's what we call electropotency between matter and time and space. You'll find that the highest food for radionics, I can beam the radiums into you, no matter where you are, and raise the level of your electrical charge, and then take a reading, and your body chemistry will start balancing out. You have the watercress. Now, that's an interesting phenomenon. It's a nighttime food. It lives in water. It rounds out the asparagus, which has 10 elements, by raising its potency to match the almonds that have 12. 12 minerals are in the almonds, 10 is in the asparagus. Yet nature plays the food with the highest radiance potency at night to integrate. Your body is a result of a marine life and an egg. They live in darkness. So if we can't have the same integrated mechanics, we're out of sync. So the physics don't match. But now that they do match and it's valid, we see why our body is set up this way to integrate on time all the time. The evidence is going to be the health, the actual mechanics of your body on time. Most of us see this word, but we don't know what it means. Nice English word? You think English people got it? Where do you think that word really came from? We use it, but we don't even know.
Is that Latin? No.
Even the Latins don't know where it comes from.
So, rice is a grass?
Yes.
Is it a grass, not a grain?
That's right.
And that's That's one of the reasons why it's neutral, why it's
not smoke. Stable.
Been all day.
Yeah.
I'm still confused with the nitrogen, minus nitrogen or plus nitrogen. The free radicals or without nitrogen is where you when you have cancer. So if you need proteins plus nitrogen in order to prevent from free radicals.
Right.
So if you have
now remember a free radical cannot enter if there's a nitrogen shield. Because you don't know where it is. Do you know where your free radicals gather? Ancient man drew all his drawings a long time ago and left it for modern man to come along and validate it. Your body is a 10-gate house. Ancient man drew a 10-gate temple a long time ago, even in the underground caves of the world, you'll find a 10-gate temple. And each one of those gates, except one, nine of them have some odd-looking figures around it. These odd-looking figures are a composite of a bird, a snake, an animal, and a creature that gives off fire. They call it a dragon. They're at each one of these gates, drawn into it. Centuries ago, they called them gremlins and all kinds of live names. They didn't understand what these people were trying to leave. They didn't have books to write. They left their knowledge of the physics of the universe in art. We have 108 elements. The nine openings of your body that you can see, two eyes, two ears, two nostrils, a mouth, and genital and rectum. The one that you can't see is this one, pituitary. Our radicals are sitting right here as elements, four at each entrance, waiting for any drop in the immunity ratio of that entrance. And the immunity ratio of that entrance is kept up only by nitrogen. And it's the only gas in nature that will allow you to generate willpower.
Generate what?
Willpower.
Whoa. Light came on.
Good. And we don't have no consciousness without the gas called oxygen. Because hydrogen can't make you conscious, and nitrogen can't make you conscious. You don't have no desire if you don't have hydrogen. So the craving to eat is locked up already in the hydrochloro acid. So if you don't have that on balance, you know what is all your desire patterns are dropping down. Physics will eventually knock out the crazy concepts of our psychology and their labels to make us look at what we are. Then, we have only one more gas, carbon. The exhaust is dioxide. It will kill you, and it can keep you alive. That's the beautiful part of nature. So it's called carbon dioxide, CD. C to construct and D to destroy. The Hindu man will call it Shiva, you shake and you shiver. And the Western man will call it the devil in you, or the disease reaction to the process. Your own body is its own cure. But all through the centuries, this word has been coming down. And we've all been given kind of a churchianistic heritage to our nature. But when you boil it down, you put a hyphen between the words, you're looking at the language that has been known for centuries and has been ignored. The only language that sounds close to that is Hebrew. But they should have been pronounced Hebrew.
people who?
God made man in his own image and likeness, male and female, and breathed the breath of life into man, and man became a living soul or living dirt.
Living soul.
But man is made from the dirt, or our 44 elements, spun into a pattern of image and likeness, the sonics and optics.
So he blew. I'm not getting the connection. Why? Well,
you show me how you blow air into somebody to give it life.
Oh, B-L-E-W, not B-L, not the color.
Yeah. All right.
You get in the picture now. A lot of these labels, language is word.
Yeah.
Word is ignorance, and word is wisdom. Mm-hmm. And if you don't see into the word, you don't get the understanding.
It can be fixation.
And so this is what has happened over the centuries, and therefore at the Tower of Babel, the babbling threw the whole thing off. A picture for one moment, the Tower of Babel still exists. There's a building now fall apart now. But let's say at the highest point of the building, the top man says, pass the brick. And the wind sounded in the ears of the listener as pass the hick. And then when he said it all the way down, and we've done experiments like that, by the time you get to the bottom man, it sounds, what the shit?
You know, that's what's happening in organized
religion. You ever play that game? So by the time the words get to the last, but everybody don't understand. So our language has done this for us of this century, and we're finding out that health, the livingness of the individual is slowly diminishing. What we're trying to recapture, so that we don't get phased out, here all day, meaning breath of life is all there is. The ongoing spontaneous acceleration of the atoms is another fancy name of saying God is all there is. He's not a person on a throne. I didn't find one on a throne. And if he did, he would say, what the hell you want with me? He would tell the priest, I gave you two boats and a helicopter. You know the story? In other words, ongoing life, the confrontations of it, is the essence of existence. So don't be afraid to live. But health is the thing that triggers it. It forces us to look at our sickness. It forces us to see our mistakes. And we're making the quantum leap from intellect to intuition. And that's why the solar nutrition is emerging as a more time control. We call it time control nutrition, where you understand what you eat and when you eat it. This is so obvious in a car. A car will not function when the carburetor is off time. But you recognize that very fast, because why? It costs you a lot of money to sit there looking at a pile of metal. But you, in your body, you don't look at that very fast. You gotta moan and groan, and then finally you may fool yourself for a long time before you accept, hey, wait a minute, it's not what I'm eating making me sick. Is when I'm putting it in, then it corrects itself. So, the minerals are important, but how they go in is very important. We're dealing with a clock all the time. And so, if we don't get that clear in our minds, we aren't going to be able to move forward on gaining the control. So the thing that you've got to recognize beyond doubt is your hydrochloric acid has to have a certain tolerance set every day to be functional. It's like your carburetor in your car. If it's not set right, the ignition key is not going to turn over properly. We may ignore it, but when we come to the actual living with it every day, and it's not recognized, then we'll break down. And that's why, when you look at the clock, and look at your chart, you'll see that the organ, stomach, takes priority.
This chart right here.
Stomach takes priority in the morning. It has to be regulated properly. Fasting is like the car turned off and you're in your house sleeping. And that's why you went to bed last night. So by the time you woke up to when you start acting again, it's called break the fast. It's just a way of looking at your own biological mechanics. I said yesterday, this clock is read two ways, from midnight or from 3 a.m. But we read it from 3 a.m. simply because the lungs take priority over your gallbladder and your liver. You may be a strong gallbladder liver, but if you don't breathe, you're going to get. So I don't say, and you will come across the clock in later researches or presentation. They tell you reading it from midnight. I'm reading it from what the preferential functions are going on in your body. You have to breathe. So it's the person who's going to be get exposed to this clock. Don't get threatened if you see they read it the other way. But you must know the difference, which takes preference, your lungs or your gallbladder. I may have all the God in the world to tell you off, but if I don't read, what can I tell you about? Right? So, my ego is then put in proper perspective, and my reality is brought to the surface. Head, breath, life is all there is. For that reason, all the great teachers in the end say, no man is your enemy. It's that we don't understand what we are. We can only have enemies in the reference to who we are. Because you and your best friend and your best enemy can lie down and sleep next to each other. And when you're sound asleep at night, do you know which one is your enemy and which is your friend? Do you see? But now if none wake up, you got no argument to treat you crazy. But if one wakes up, he may be the friend, he may be the enemy, and the other two still lying down. So, you see what I'm going to? So, why the biological clock must take preference in terms of the lungs? Okay. 3 a.m.
Does that apply to the navel too? The navel?
Yeah. The point, you see, actually there are three biological clock timing, but right now you're not concerned with it. Because the lungs will still take priority over the other two ways of reading the clock. For that reason, we have to give the preference to the lungs. That's why they say he all there. He all there is all there is. Ongoing accelerating momentum of the atoms in a form called manifestation or man. That's a short word for manifestation. And it's male-female, which is polaristic. That means sonics and optics. You know?
don't have a single thing here in this universe that ongoing sonics and ongoing optics operating in an electromagnetic field and a gravitational field, compressing fast and slow, which we call hypo-hyper, which is the ongoing terminology in modern physics. And in the ancient day, it was called yin-yang, tai chi.
Compressing or condensing?
Dilating.
Okay.
You know that now from making enough cooling machines, you don't get out of the constriction, dilation, or the compression principle. Because you have to move the water through a certain pressure, right? And if the pressure isn't there, the water isn't going to go. And if the tube that you're pushing it isn't dilated enough, you have the other end of what? Pressure or less pressure to the water.
Well, less pressure.
Good. So you see, you're dealing with the same fundamental hydraulics. Centuries ago, this drawing was on a wall, and then many people thought it meant flowers and beautiful things, never realizing that the men who left the knowledge carving it were leaving it for something entirely different from what we assume it would represent. They call it lotus petals. But don't knock their art. It's there as a memento of their wisdom that they hid. See, the Chinese and the Indian people, that's why they say, the more you know the Chinese and the Indian, the more you get locked up in their word puzzles. Like a Chinese crossword puzzle. Because they were too intricately hiding their wisdom for posterity in art form, so that the emperors of other countries didn't take it away from them. That's really why they did that. And they hid it in caves and all kind of all. To remind themselves, right, even in the pottery and the plate that they eat. It was comical. Last night I was at that restaurant, and I'm looking at the artwork, how they're hiding the knowledge in the artwork. You go, that's beautiful. But they're hiding all these laws in it.
Appears to be amazing.
You mean the paper you were looking at
last night? Yeah, it appears to be amazing.
At Peking Gardens.
And that gentleman that we met there, you know, right? Here, yeah, no ordinary family play is very cool. This is the flowing intestine. This is the large intestine. And this is this stomach. This is the spleen. This is the heart. This is the small intestine. Bladder. And this is the thyroid. This is what you call the
where does this information come from? I mean, how do you know that that from 3 to 5 is a long time?
After many, many years of mistakes between the first law yesterday on the blackboard to the second law. Remember the first law, Solomon Fisherman left. The very first thing I wrote on the blackboard, what was it?
No need to that. There's a time and a place.
That's number two. A little of anything is medicine.
Right. A little of anything is medicine for the system. Too much is toxic. That was taken years after from where it came from.
Carl Ben Valentine.
They're validating it because they're confronting the patterns. And the man who put it together was, in his observation, was Confucius. The second law was Solomon. There's a time and a place and a season for everything. Between the two men, there were thousands of years that passed between them. And during that time, all types of medical knowledge had evolved. The biological clock was observed after many, many centuries of mistakes.
So it is based on ancient medical.
Yeah. And it's in the West, it's been validated two ways. When the patient dies and when the patient born. And what medicine was used prior to the death or prior to the birth. Not too long ago, friend Dr. Hiresky, it's over 5-6 years now, he developed a medicine for uterine cancer. It's called platinum chloride. He administered the platinum chloride to the cancer patient and they got well, went home. But then, later on, his assistants were giving the injections and cases began to show that they were dying from the injection. He then went back to check out, only to find out that every case history of when the injection was given for the specific problem and got well to go home was given before midday. And everyone that died from the injection was given after midday. But the death certificate of the dead person did not show that they died from uterine cancer. They all died from pneumonia in the lungs. Though uterine cancer was cured, patient dying from pneumonia in the lungs, the injection given after midday, it was not a practical application.
So they document all that, they don't share that.
Then they began to realize that it was not the medicine that killed the person. It was when it was administered that killed the person. And they didn't die from the uterine cancer that they were actually suffering from because all of these symptoms had resided, but they died from pneumonia in the lungs. Exactly at 5 or 6:30 in the morning. So between 3 o'clock and most of the cases were exactly 4.
Well, why 5, 6:30?
Because in the extreme, some of them were too toxic. But the bulk of those that died from pneumonia in the lungs died at exactly 4 o'clock.
During lockdown.
During lockdown. Pneumonia piled up so fast, They didn't get past it. They died. And this is on record in the last 5 or 6 years now. So that in Florida, there was not too long, a conference there discussing the chromatic period of injections for therapists involving platinum chloride, and they're refining it more and more. But they do have valid evidence that the body is operating on a clock, and other organs are involved, and certain chemistry is involved, and the wrong time is interacting on the organs. Long time was definitely established, beyond all doubt, to be between 3 and 5 a.m. in the morning. Then they went back to other case histories, because that's his, to look at people who complain about appendix, ruptured appendix. And when they rush them in extreme cases, and they all fall within 5 o'clock and 7 o'clock. Colon time. And then they went to look for people with stomach ulcers. Then they began to show up and what reactions. And they found that most of the record predominant between 9 and 11, the spleen is involved, the pancreas.
You had a duodenal ulcer that occurred during small intestine.
And so they are in the process of validating all the other organs. We're finding it more and more now. It's in the breakdown of the body that the organs were already established in their time cycle. And then they went back through Eastern medicine, and that's when acupuncture. The doctors began to study acupuncture. They saw that the acupuncture clock was already established centuries ago. But the man who would force them to put it down was a guy called the Yellow Emperor. His book is called The Yellow Emperor Medicine. And there are several of them. There's just a few available to the West to translate.
It's called what?
The Yellow Emperor Medicine. It's a highly technical, complicated book, but written in the Eastern language, but then they're slowly breaking down to the Western.
What dynasty was it?
The Ming dynasty.
Ming. Is that Ming after the Solar Dynasty?
So, what we're looking at is a biological clock already been recognized and not been validated in the West. But is to read it and how to work with it in terms of your health and in terms of food, because that's a shortcut across the whole thing. Your mouth will get you there faster than your eyes, your nose, or your ears, and your hands. Come straight. See how quickly the accent came out through your nose? If it went the opposite way, you'd feel embarrassed.
I wouldn't be.
But then I go. Great. Okay. The clock is set up this particular way from my own research and validation. And terms of light to the growth pattern. So there are 11 lines going like that on your chart. This middle line acts as a double line. It folds upon itself. It represents 12 hours of the day. 11 lines ahead of it, and that middle line is making going in one direction and coming back on itself. It's a 12-hour movement. And then you have 11 lines again going this way. So that whole
period from 3 a.m. to 9 a.m.
which may seem to have
22
distinct lines and one midline doing a dual function, it represents the 24 hours of the day that the human body microscopically is obeying one of nature's most unique law of temperature that you refer to as spring. It's called the spring of the body. From 3 a.m. to 9 a.m.
The density of the light.
These lines are referred to now as lines of photosynthesis, or photon synthesis.
But now, at that time of the year when the Earth begins to tilt back towards the sun, the northern hemisphere, that doesn't change the speed of the light, but does it change the density? Or not change, but that illusion, is it different?
In your body, you're a micro. On the Earth, you're another micro in reference to the sun, which is a macro. In the 24 hours in your body, you're doing exactly what the Earth will take to do in exactly 3 months.
Does this relate in any fashion when you're traveling from the United States, from America, North America to Europe, and you get what they call jet lag? Is it because your body has been thrown out of sync with its natural biological time?
Environment.
But you see, I can tell you something. I have a lot of people who travel that came to me with that same problem. I tell them, look, your planet Earth is only 12 hours apart from each other. Go from one end to the other, you can only be 12 hours. So jet lag won't bother me. It'll bother you if you don't understand the laws of physics. And you'll suffer from all kinds of concocted ideas about jet lag. You have a 12-hour differential. If it's 12 o'clock midday in America, and in China is the opposite side of the Earth. Because if you dig a hole, you'll get to it. That's the comedy of it. But let's say that Mr. Reagan had to make that trip to China, and it's no longer than a 12-hour straight flight. But interesting phenomenon. They're going to be 1 hour ahead of us in the 12, right? Because they're the other side of the globe. But let's say we're looking at direct standard time, 12 for 12, straight across. If it's 12 midday at this moment in time in the United States of America, at that instant of time, what is it in China?
12 midnight.
12 midnight. Okay. Should I be eating fish now in America, or should I be eating chicken now in America?
Chicken in America.
Good. I should be eating chicken. But whenever I arrive in China, it's going to take me 12 hours to get there, and 12 hours at the present moment should be what? Midnight in China. I should be eating, if I was on the other side trying to come back to America, what? Fish or the chicken?
Fish.
Good. So we're 12 hours apart, right? I fly from America and I land in China. Did I shift my eating time? Because what time I'm arriving in China?
12 hours.
12 later. Midday.
Midday.
Because why? 12 midnight is done gone.
Huh?
So what should I eat now when I arrive in China?
Chicken.
Hmm?
Chicken.
Do I have a problem with jet lag?
No.
So we eat in flight what we are building ourselves up to for the new...
I travel across the United States of America in a vehicle, 2 hours to the West Coast and 2 hours to the East Coast. And everyone now learns my method of eating a long time. And the East Coast, they know I'm coming at 2 hours behind their time. And on the West Coast, they know I'm coming 2 hours ahead of their time. So what happens? When we arrived on the East Coast, the doctor friend of mine where I stayed, he eats his dinner. And 2 hours later, that his daughter would eat his dinner, her dinner, because she's got to get up to go to school in the morning. So she eats her dinner 7 o'clock their time, which is 5 o'clock my time in Texas, and the father and the mother eat their dinner at 9 o'clock, which is 7 o'clock my time in Texas. We don't have no problem. You ever go out to eat late dinners?
Yeah, last night.
Good, okay.
How long, if, for instance, if you went to Orangeburg, which is eastern, how much time would have to pass before you would adapt to eating exactly what they eat when they eat?
No problem. I don't have to. All they do is eat later instead of eating earlier. Now, 7 o'clock Orange time is 5 o'clock Houston time. 9 o'clock Orange time is 7 o'clock Houston time.
There are 2 hours difference, Eastern?
No, they sit down to eat eggs at night at 9 o'clock. Is that going to interfere with me eating it with them at 9 o'clock with them? Because it's only going to represent 7 o'clock what?
Yeah, you're still in the same.
See what I'm saying? So it's a 2 hour differential.
Yeah.
My
so
goal
the
big
problem occurs going much further.
It won't make any difference.
Well, not even a problem, but I'm
it didn't make any difference because it's when you understand what you're doing, you don't have the problem. And I go to the West Coast where Boogie Woogie lives, and my 9 o'clock or my 7 o'clock is there, what? Yeah. 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
So they're not going to go out and eat supper. They're going to go out and eat supper there 7 o'clock, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which only makes it my 9 o'clock.
Yeah,
so if I eat my eggs again, do I have a problem?
It's all relative.
You see?
So you're saying you could have your eggs at 7 at home, drive there, and still have eggs again at, it would be your 9, but it's their 7.
Exactly, so there's no problem. Never have the problem. There's only people who didn't understand that had a problem.
Okay, so I'm back to that Europe thing. I think I just didn't understand it totally. If I am still here in the United States and I'm leaving, say, at noon, I can eat my noon meal here, get on the flight, but then I automatically, when I get on that flight, say within 2 hours of it, let's say they're ahead. I don't know what they are. If they're ahead.
Where, it depends where you're going now.
Well, let's say, okay, France. Use France as an example.
All right. How many hours? Are you? Four
six.
Six
hours ahead.
Okay, 6 hours. Good.
6 hours ahead?
6 hours. That's a halfway mark of 12.
I'm 2 o'clock America time in that flight, but I'm 8 o'clock France time.
Right.
So then I observe 2 hours into that flight or whatever time I start to eat, whatever that meal would be in France if I were on continent Europe. Okay.
Because
I look forward rather than back.
You see, that shows you have a 12-hour differential right across the entire globe, and the halfway point is 6. So either way, you're never going to have the problem that they talk so much about when you understand your own biological clock. Now, I am leaving 12 midday, USA, and it's exactly 6 o'clock already in France, right? That's the crossover time. By the time I arrive in France, it's going to be what? Midnight, right?
No.
Yes.
Yes.
Of course it has to be.
Yeah, okay,
of course.
Yes.
By the time I arrive, I mean, it's midnight.
Yes.
Am I entitled to go out and eat supper in French time if I'm with my friends? Of course, have a little wine or a little tequila. And then still have some nice escargot. See, I did not break the growth cycle. I could go out and eat the mushrooms with them because they may join me in a late supper, but they're not going to break the growth cycle. You see it? It didn't break the growth cycle. The growth cycle is a certain type of food functions in that light range. Even though it's 6 hours later,
I'm going to eat in the light range of the foods that takes the priority.
Yeah.
And so my body isn't going to what? Go into a jet lag. It's going to accept, this is valid. I'm adapting for in reference to the biological mechanism. So now, if I go another 6 hours further, and then I look back again, this is 12 hours jump. I'm 12 midday, it's going to be 12 midnight there the other end. And then I did a land, the full 12-hour distance ride, I'm landing in midday, their time. I'm going to eat back what I just left. I don't have a problem, see. And when you live in a continent like U.S., you only have a 2 or 3 hour differential on either side to go on this USA. So we don't have the problem. When I show a person why the jet lag is not 100% valid, it's because they don't look at their own biological clock, and they don't look at the growth cycle of the food. Mr. Reagan, when he went to China, only had 2 items in his entire program that were off the time. And those are the ones that gave him the gas. Outside of that, he was functioning perfectly with all the rest of food in the proper time cycle. And this is what we observe. They're now trying to pinpoint it, refer to it as ecological eating, the ecology of how things grow.
You're saying solar eating, they're referring to it, science is referring to it as ecological eating?
Yeah. That would be the new name for it on time. They don't want to use, because solar, the word solar is already being copyrighted. So they're going to try and innovate the new terminology, ecological nutrition, or phasing into the ecology. That's valid. Now, I'm saying between 3 a.m. to 9 a.m., you have what is called a spring action in your body. You have your lungs, your large intestines, and your stomach operating in that range. This is also known as the breakfast period of the body, breaking the fast. From 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., we have the same phenomena repeating, 11 lines. And this middle line again is a double line. It only represents, again in 24 hour, a similar reaction like a change of the Earth around its axis to the Sun. You are experiencing the same phenomena intrinsically, biologically, atomically, though you may not be conscious of it. What is happening in there already. It's called your summer of your body. So from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., you're operating in the summer of your body. And you have 3 organs. You'll notice in each heat range and time range, there are 3 distinct organs. You have the spleen, the heart, and the small intestine. I have a colonel who teaches the military men now to work and operate by solar nutrition. He's doing a lot of research in it, getting the best of his troops that they don't get exhaustion problems. And that's where they got the idea of coffee in the afternoon to match the British with their tea. But then there are 2 types of coffee, on a tree and a bush. 3 p.m. to 9 p.m. We have the same principle here. Double line.
and that is called the fall or autumn of the body. But here, a strange thing begins to happen. The lines of photosynthesis are changing in their spectrum reaction. In the morning from 3 a.m. to 9 a.m., all the lines of photosynthesis operate in the red range. And from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., they all stay in the red range. But then, from 3 p.m. going in, to 6 p.m., the first 3 hours of that movement, the lines of photosynthesis are changing into orange. And from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m., the lines of photosynthesis are changing to yellow. From 9 p.m. to 3 a.m. in the morning, we have the same phenomenon again of lines of photosynthesis. 11. And from midnight to 3 p.m. These same lines of photosynthesis are there. And that's called the winter of the body. But we see this period again. The lines of photosynthesis are duplicating exactly by the 3 p.m. to 9 a.m. 9 p.m. Orange in the first portion and yellow in the second portion. They duplicate. Then, what is strange, the cosmic rays and their intensity and their waves have been observed by the Russian researchers today. And that's how come they began to identify that the pinion nut is the most unique nut in the cosmic rays, being higher than almonds. Almond tree cannot grow at height of pine nut. And therefore, the longevity nut is the pinion nut because it works on the connective tissues. It's very high in nitrogen, but it doesn't have all the 12 basic minerals. But the trace minerals that it has are different than the trace minerals that the almonds have, and therefore the reaction to the connective tissues of longevity is more in favor. Interesting. And now they found that if you connect it with the avocado, you see, A, these words are very unusual. Words that begin with A, avocado. Jesus says, in me you have an advocate with the Father. Remember that statement? Jesus, once when he was in the body, he said, in me you have an advocate with the Father. That was a statement he made, very unusual to most people, and they are thinking of all kinds of labels, and he may be thinking of something totally scientific in reference to the mechanism. But that doesn't say you can't use the term advocate to mean a lawyer or a representative. Plead the case. But he said, in me you have an advocate in the Father. But if you want to go into more objective science, the avocado is a tree. It's a fruit that has the biggest stone. Sometimes you wonder why God ever put the big avocado stone. And yet, it's protein, it's nitrogen. Yet when you combine it with the pinion nut, you round out the most unusual phenomenon in the body. Not only brain, but connective tissues, but you have an oil, the avocado oil, that is very, very unique for the molecular structure of the skin.
So we need to be eating pine nuts mixed with avocado every morning during the morning. going to all be so pretty. Well, you're going to last a long time.
If I didn't apply it, I wouldn't be here talking to you. I have to apply it first. I'm the type of guy who don't believe nothing. I don't know, or I don't know, because when you fall off a building, and you break up your body, there's no more room, really. Belief goes out the door, and understanding by personal exposure experience comes in. So I don't believe in a God, but I know there is a God. Not something sitting on a throne waiting for me to count out to, but a principle that embodies everything. I cannot become, but it became me. Therefore, in that essence, I know it works, but I too must obey from a psychological level. I can't use an egotistical attitude to relate to it. I have to use a biological reality to relate to it. As what I am versus who I think I am. Within that frame, it works. And all the wise men that preceded have to realize it too. And all of us who come after will eventually realize it too. There's no way to get around it.
Avocados should be in the morning?
Yeah, avocados are in the morning.
6 and 11? Or can they be eaten like 11:30?
Anytime in the morning, right up to 11 o'clock. 12 o'clock is the cutoff point. Pinyon nuts. They make a good combination. Now, guacamole salad includes vitamin C.
Which tomato?
You have two types of tomato, the crossover type undefined. And nature again is a joker. She loves to play tricks on us. She gives us the exception to the rule by growing a tomato on a tree. You ever see a tree tomato? Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's a, but they grow only in New Zealand, now they're growing in America. That's where they grew first, on a tree. Tomato growing on a tree, you have to pick it, it has vitamin C, it's called a pear tomato.
Is that
one? Yeah. Pear, it looks like a pear. It looks like a pear.
They call that the, yeah.
Yeah, they call that the
big
or pear.
That's the pear tomato that grows on a tree, and the New Zealand, Australia are growing it now, shipping into this country, and this country is growing it now to get the vitamin C. And those who are doing research know what is an interesting phenomenon. We're dealing with elements, and we're dealing with potency of elements. And the potency is indicative of the time. When an element has more potency or less potency, and that is identifiable with the light reaction to it in the process of absorption from the ground into the form of the food, and this reaction into the body. So, if you take a tomato on a tree, though it's a nightshade family plant, it has vitamin C. The potency of that vitamin C is higher than the potency of the vitamin C of the tomato on the vine growing on a lower range. In reference to the time input, you can't take a tomato from the vine and put it in your tummy in the morning and get any value. It will not work, even though it contains vitamin C. But if you took a tomato from a tree in the morning, that vitamin C potency will instantly work to correct problems in the chest, just like an acerola cherry, it will instantly work out faster. Faster, because we're dealing now with potency in different ratios of X's.
And you wouldn't have to cook that tomato.
No, you don't have to.
That pear tomato could be mixed very easily with the pine nut and the avocado to create a fantastic.
Wonderful, bottom. Right. You're now getting how we've got the gourmet eating healthy for the first time.
Wonderful.
There's no way you're going to be sick. Even if you want to eat gourmet, it's just to understand the growth cycle of the foods in Uganda. You'll start to see the validity of the thing in the end. I love gourmet. Don't kill yourself. Jupiter don't allow me to evade.
Now we have the thyroid, the bladder, the kidney, and the pericardium in the autumn period, and the thyroid, the gallbladder, and the liver in the winter period. The reason we're establishing the temperature ranges is to validate more in reality why your organs let you down at certain times of the year, and why they let you down in certain areas of the world, and in certain temperatures, and you never know why. It's because the biological clock has its own laws to follow versus what we intellectually think. And yet we can keep our health functioning in any part of the globe, in the sky, under the ground, in water, anything, if we understand how they react to the biological temperature. So I'm not afraid anymore, like years ago, to go take a high dive or go on a plane, go under the ground, go in water, subterranean chambers. I know the biological clock, and I adapt to different temperatures. But years ago, not knowing it, how it integrated properly the body, I was at the mercy of it. Today, lack of equipment is the only thing that makes the knowledge very hard to accept by the general public. But we are working towards that, providing the equipment to get validation. Now, 3 a.m. to 9 a.m. is the spring of the body. It's also known as the breakfast period, right up to 12 o'clock. Foods that grow in that range of light are all accepted by the body. And you notice 11 o'clock cuts off. And we say we can go up to 12 midday and between 11:30 to 12, that we call the transition time, allowing for foods that are in the morning, allowing for food in the afternoon to interact, and then you cross over within the next 30 minutes, and one is phasing down and the other is picking up, and your own enzymes in your mouth makes the adjustment to this particular transition. Instead of forming gas or creating problems, they adapt. So we're not fighting nature, we're learning to synchronize with nature. For the first time, we have evidence that we can do it without the reactions of creating problems. So, 12 o'clock is a cutoff point. And from 12 right on, up to 7 o'clock, we can operate in the growth range of all the vegetation above the ground. We can operate with the two-legged and the four-legged creature by taking them in. And we don't have to switch any food from any zone to make a meal. That doesn't say it's not valid that you can't use the switch at a certain time of the month. If you want to go and eat chicken armadine, I'm not going to stop you. There's a transitional time you can eat chicken armadine. And there's a time of the month you can eat chicken armadine. That is chicken with almonds and with cabbage. So if you want to eat it, you can go and eat it around 11:30 to 12. Just at the crossover point. The almonds will phase off and the chicken will come on in after midday, so there's no gas reaction. If you want to eat it again in lunar time, we know that as a fact, we can eat it, right? So we have two options. Then if you bless the food, even though it's the wrong time, what have you got? Suspension. Kinesiology will validate that, but many other techniques will validate what we're saying, because this is the process of how to use the thing at the right time, or when it's out of the time cycle, what to do to compensate. Now,
the if you wanted to go to like Tony's restaurant, they have a chicken and pineapple.
Chicken and pineapple in the evening. Now you go to the crossover time. Here's the other crossover time. See, the other crossover time is at 6.
Right.
Between 6:30 to 7, you have the crossover time.
So you're speaking sober now.
Yeah. Let's say I went
out. In the crossover time, you can.
Yes, you can have food from the two light cycles.
Would this be on a regular basis or just ever so often?
It can be regular and it can be on the lunar time.
Yeah.
Because that is valid. You are, nature is what we call the cusp.
Yeah.
It's a transitional function in the body. Mm-hmm. You would work 5 days a week, but you'll work overtime if somebody offers you a little extra money for the overtime, but you wouldn't work 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. You would not accept that, but you will work several hours a day and beyond the limit time for compensation as an overtime. But you wouldn't do 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So don't ask your chemistry to do that. It's not going to do it.
But you did say you can do it in solar time frame.
In the transitional time.
At the transitional times.
And you can do it in the lunar time.
At transitional times.
So in the lunar time is 7 days. Do you know what lunar time is?
Yeah. It's
within those 7 days, you can eat anything without having any reaction.
Oh, okay. I thought there was just that one day, the full moon day that you...
The other 3 days, we move the clock forward to compensate you for an automatic cleanup. And we move it backwards for the automatic cleanup. The only reason it was set that way so that you don't have to worry about cleaning up your body when you went lunar for those 7 days.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to eat lunar from the day one to the day seven, your body will make the compensation because it's the moon's pressure that will force you to go to the bathroom to keep it out. So you have a lot of compensations in your favor versus only one thing to knock it out.
See? I thought you had just the one
day. See, nature is very, very conservative, and yet at the same time, very exuberant. So once you understand how she's working, and it's all game of timing.
What time do you want to eat,
though? You can stop right now.
No, not yet. It's not ready.
What 12 o'clock be all right?
Perfect.
Good.
In your notes, you talk about a 35-day cycle.
Yes.
So it's not the same as the 28, the 21 and 7. So what is that?
That's dealing with something entirely different in the trace minerals. So we're coming now, so see, Solar 1 and Solar 2, this whole program has been set up for 12 particular processes. And in the trace minerals, we're dealing with longevity techniques, non-aging and non-eating. And so there are 35-day cycles. If you understand the circadian rhythm, every 23 days you have a biological rhythm. Every 28 days you have an emotional rhythm. Every 33 days you have an intellectual rhythm. And then you have a shift rhythm, which is called 35, as a trace mineral reaction in the body. So that those are dealing with non-eating states. So what it mentioned in it is a more advanced understanding of our trace minerals, how they work in the non-eating states.
So your solar time starts on the fourth day after full moon.
Wednesday at around
1:30.
So 1:30 on Wednesday was full moon. That's the actual point, peaking. And then from Thursday to would be the one day after at 1 o'clock. Friday at 1 o'clock. And Saturday at 1 o'clock it'll end off at 1 o'clock.
What are those musical guys on the
cycle?
Music also regulates your
regulations.
I can knock out your health
with the music.
I can induce data. It's all forms of kinesiology. You learn kinesiology from the chiropractic training and all the things. They are dealing with up to certain things. This here is an overtime of a clock.
It will
carry you all the way back to the consciousness. It will teach the person what he's doing. Like trying to climb up a ladder and skipping all the steps and going up the ladder. Each step of the ladder is a different biological shift in the body. So you're going to see certain colors, you're going to see certain musical notes, they're all there involving changes in the body.
This is violet.
What is the signification of the different color on the photosynthesis?
That's what we call
red, and orange. What the signification of the movement?
That's what we're coming to. You're looking at a complete clock.
Yeah, because I understand this, but I don't get it.
No, you're not going to get it because you aren't ready until we explain what you're doing. Can you tell me what color this eye is in relation to this part when I do that? What color comes to mind? I saw the color before you tell me because I know I'm generating the condition of biological design. Psychology. Biology is not by some extent. It's just color. Chromatic. So what the psychologists are doing, what the scientists have been doing for centuries, they hid their knowledge. It took me a long time to go through to find out that when a person comes and tells me a problem, I seldom ask them, other than a crazy question. He knows, and I said, I'm going to ask you a crazy question. What color comes to your mind when you think of a problem? Then you answer me in a strange way, a color. But no matter how you try with your brain, you can't find the color because the colors will come up. We don't store data in the brain as words. There's not a single word in your brain stored there. Though you may read all the encyclopedias of the world, you'll never store a single one of those words in the brain. But you'll store it in colors. And every color in the integration of the color will tell me the word. And it'll tell me the traumas, and then tell me the innovations of how I can help you to correct the problem, because they're going to lock it themselves in optics, and that's how computer devices are being developed with silicon chips and all the different. They're recording these things in color. But then the next thing is resonance. To describe the color, you have to resonate with your mouth. From a program identification, green was programmed into you by your parent to refer to that optical reaction to call it green. Do you follow them?
I think.
All right. This is blue. Is this color blue?
No.
Now you see, first contradiction answer. That tells me somebody had to program you to contradict my statement of punching you in as a computer to get an answer. So my punching to you is saying to you, this is blue. You are punching back by saying that the computer trained in the restoring of the data to say this is good. So that tells you, right, input has to equal output. Otherwise the data is incorrect. So if I want you to say this is blue, I'd have to alter your input before you can say that this is blue. And you're looking at something that you've been programmed to respond as red. Yeah. You don't have the word apple in your head. It's a sonic resonance of somebody calling it that you have to relate to whenever you need to put it in your mouth. So if I said to you now, there's a fruit in the kitchen. It looks like a little ball, and it's blue. Would you bring it?
Great.
see? Right away you're going to look for something that would look like that, but you're not going to go and look at something like this. That's because I'm punching in to your point of reference as the memory bank to relate. And that's what we're talking about. So a biological clock is set up to calibrate all these things. Centuries ago, man, when he stumbled, he didn't invent the biological clock, no matter how he tried. All he did was identify it and label it and set up a diagram to read it. And that's what we are discovering, that the biological clock is already set up in you. Now, you only have two types of vision, concave and convex. And every optician will tell you, your concave vision is off because it's not 20/20. You have to have what? A pair of glasses to see more concavely, right? Mm-hmm. But not convexly. Because if you were seeing convexly, would this wall block you from seeing the chair outside in the yard?
Through that?
You're looking at this object. Are you looking at it concavely or convexly? Concave is seeing at the wall end of your vision. Convexly is seeing right through the wall, no end to your vision. In France, they call it clairvoyant, right? What is clairvoyant? To see right through. And so we only have two shapes to the eye, a concave action and a convex action. But we are born with it, and we don't even know it. And yet, we meet some people who have the ability, and we get frightened, or we feel very awed by it. And in actuality, everybody's got it. But not everybody knows why it's not working in them, and how some people can make it work, and some can't make it work. And when you begin to understand what's going on in the body, funny phenomena is we come back to a biological clock. Acupuncturists for centuries discovered it, but there's no such thing called acupuncture. I can't even find a meridian in your body if I put in an x-ray machine to look at it. There's no meridians there. But there are certain points along your skin that acts like this particular object. Those points will, but there's no lines running in your body. But they're set up all over the body. There's a biological switch into the relation of the electromagnetic fields of the body. Just as much as your eyes are set up to interact with certain biological video reactions of the body. But the biological clock is set in a way that you can track it for the first time. So we're finding now that we can track down all the things through the biological. And the latest discovery is they have found a way now to tell by the blood what type of person, the shape of the person, the hair of the person, with the new researches, simply by the chromatic chemistry in the blood. That's what's showing up now. There's a biological clock working in there that allows the blood to do